Welcome back, everyone, to another episode here on the 5571 podcast. And what a podcast we're going to have today, talking about some amazing news that we've been speculating on for a while. But Disney gave us a little bit more info in a big way today, which is so awesome. So we're going to talk about that. And I say we because just like last week's episode, I have Mondo from Five Fires YouTube back on the podcast again, because we got to talk about this, you know, and discuss it, because you can't, it takes more than just someone sharing it. We got to discuss it this time. So
no, thank you for having me back on. Thank you. I'm just blown away by today, because I thought it was going to be Tiana's Bayou Adventure, Danny. Why would it be Avatar? Why Avatar today? Like, I felt like Avatar was going to be that main event at D23. Maybe it's not. I don't know what's coming to D23, but I'm excited.
I know. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But of course, there is some other news to talk about first. So let's get some of the other small news out of the way. And then, just like Mondo's been hinting at, we're going to talk about the Avatar experience, that news that was dropped today during the investors call, or not the investors call, the annual meeting of shareholders for the Walt Disney Company that happened today. And that's when all this news dropped. But we'll come back to that. So let's go on some of the news first. Starting off with this week, actually. So this podcast is going live on Thursday, April the 4th. And then the next day, April the 5th, kicks off Star Wars Season of the Force at Disneyland, which is going to be going all the way through June 2nd. So a little bit of time here to celebrate that. And it's going to be kind of coinciding alongside Pixar Fest. So if you're at Disneyland Park, you've got Star Wars Season of the Force and Pixar Fest going on at the same time. But there's a bunch of stuff coming. We have new popcorn buckets. We have new sippers. Lots of new food items. In fact, if you go to Disney Parks blog, and I'll link it in the show notes, we actually have a foodie guide specifically for Star Wars Season of the Force with some new items over at Docking Bay 7, over in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Ronto Roasters, Galactic Grill in Tomorrowland, Katsaka's Kettle, which is the popcorn stand inside Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and the milk stand, of course. The milk stand always gets in on the Star Wars fun. Some of them returning, some of them new. But the big one I wanted to point out here was a special little thing that only certain people picked up on. I don't necessarily know that they introduced it or put it this way, but there was a few Twitter users who instantly caught it right away. And I think the first one was like Brooke McDonald. She shared, and I think I shared her her post, but essentially in the Oga's Cantina section of the foodie guide, it talks about four new cocktails and then one new kind of snack item coming during Season of the Force. And two of those new cocktails were from the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser in their bar, which was called the Sublight Lounge. So there's two new drinks. One is called the Fiery Mustafarian, which has like a cinnamon spicy flavor to it. That's going to be Añejo Tequila, Aperol Aperitivo Liqueur, peach puree, peach syrup, and lime juice with a dropper of spicy lava syrup. And from what I remember correctly from watching Peter and Kitra's videos on the Star Cruiser, it's like when they say a dropper, like they give you like a little dropper thing and like you pour the lava into it. I don't know. So I hope it's that way. And then the other drink was the Silver Sea Martini. This is a very beautiful looking drink that is basically gin, Minute Maid lemonade, ginger syrup, honey, and mint syrup topped with a shimmery butterfly pea flower tea. And for those that don't know, butterfly pea flower tea interacts with lemonade. So once it once it interacts with any sort of lemon, and lemonade is that as well too, it turns this vibrant violet purple color. It's some kind of chemical reaction with that tea and lemons, and the acidity in lemons. So they do this a lot of times. Disney's used this a lot of times in like different tea offerings they've had, where they make this kind of like magical changing color tea. So this cocktail has that in there. So it's going to have that same magical effect. But in addition to these two new cocktails, they have the actual souvenir sipper cocktail glasses that these are served in on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, available at Oga's Cantina when you're ordering these drinks. So Oga's Cantina is going to be a hot place to go. during this. What do you think about it, Mondo? Are you excited about any of these food offerings? Are you down to try this Oga's Cantina? I know it's kind of hard to get in there, but...
I'm down to try it all. Oga's Cantina has been a hit since day one, and I feel like they're just adding to the great catalog with these like Galactic Star Cruiser offerings coming to Disneyland. I'm so shocked that we're getting this. It's just, for me, as a Californian, I never thought I was going to ever try any of this stuff or just be in the presence of this Galactic Star Cruiser stuff because it doesn't exist anymore. So it's really cool that Disney's finding a way to bring these to life at our Oga's Cantina. And they look good. I really want, and honestly, I'm really curious to see what the price range for these cups are going to be. Because are they going to be for sale?
The cups are for sale. So I don't know if both of them are. But according to Brooke McDonald, she kind of hinted that they both were. But I know for sure that the one that the Silver Sea Martini comes in, that mm-hmm. one is being sold. There was two versions of this being sold. I know when it was on the Star Cruiser, it was actually Star Cruiser branded. So on the bottom of it, they had like the Star Cruiser logo on it. She was saying that like it's not going to be branded that. So it's like not leftover. Like they had it specifically made for this. So I don't know. But I mean, maybe they had already ordered some and they just said, hey, don't brand these.
Yeah.
So it could be leftover. I know Mondo at the milk stand, the Toydaria Swirl. Were you ever a fan of that? I forgot to ask you that.
Yeah,
that
I liked
has, like
it.
The chili the all chamoy. Over.
Yeah, that's the only way the green milk is edible, with the chamoy, and it's good. I cannot deny that. But green milk on its own, it's a pass.
Yeah.
But with the chamoy, it really does make it worth it, and I recommend that to anybody. It's a good offering.
The other one that was kind of weird to me, if you ever had the Oga's Obsession, which is the snack item, and I say snack in like air quotes, you can't see it, but it's like, it's a really good option at Oga's Cantina. It has Pop Rocks on it, popping jelly inside. It's like made of Jello. It's really, really cool looking, fun to eat. This version during Star Wars Season of the Force, I don't know about this, Mondo. I don't like the sound of it. So instead of being blue-green, it's red. So it's made with Minute Maid lemonade, wild strawberry flavor, and strawberry and grape candy pebbles to make that red-colored Jello. But the boba in it is filled with yogurt. So I don't know. Right off the bat, I don't know how I feel yogurt and Jello mixed together. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'll try it, but it's not like I'm super excited to try it. But exactly.
Other than the food, by the way, Star Wars Season of the Force is going to be bringing some new experiences, including new experiences at Star Tours. So new versions of the ride specifically launching during this period. The Grand Californian is going to get in on the decoration. And then, of course, there's going to be a new way to watch fireworks inside Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So when they're playing the fireworks show in front of the castle and everything else, you can watch it in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and get a whole new experience with Star Wars music. And so that might be the more crowded place to watch fireworks this year. But check it out if you can. If you're going to Disneyland at all during now and June 2nd, you'll be able to experience some of this stuff. And it's going to be really, really popular. And then having Pixar Fest on top of it, I mean... Disney's just going to have tons of locals coming.
Well, and add to that Phantasmic.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot. May, coming in May.
And a new parade at DCA. It's a stacked 2024 at Disneyland.
It definitely is. The next thing I wanted to talk about was actually some stuff that Mondo's actually been covering over at Universal Studios. So a little bit of a break from Disney Parks, heading over to Universal Studios. They're getting ready to celebrate. Now, this is where I'm confused, Mondo. Is it the 60th anniversary of the studio, World Famous Studio Tour, or is it the park itself?
Studio tour.
So the World Famous Studio Tour. So yeah. Universal Studios Hollywood is celebrating 60 years specifically of the studio tour. And they are going all out for this. And it's been super cool. They announced some changes coming to the earthquake scene. And they have a little bit of a retrofit a retro makeover for the current trams to make them look like the old Universal Studios glamour trams, those red and white trams with the scalloped canopy over the top that looks so cool and awesome. But Mondo's been showcasing this a lot on his Twitter, on his YouTube, in addition to the Fast and the Furious construction. But can you explain, Mondo, like what's making this different for the 60th anniversary than a normal studio tour?
Yeah, the first one to point out is that you will be able to get off the studio tour and walk the Bates Motel area, walk up the hill through War of the Worlds, and whatever else they're going to have offering. Because it seems like what they're planning is this like guided walkthrough that you do on your own, but with photo ops throughout the whole thing. And these photo ops just kind of hit nostalgia. And from what I saw today, they had a Jaws, like a huge shark Jaws photo op. And they had the Fast and Furious cars. They had like a glamour tram that you could take a photo with. Then they had the Hollywood sign that just went up near Bates Motel. And there's more to come. Like it's just what has arrived as of yesterday and today, because these details barely got announced. So this is just the beginning. Like I'm really curious to see, what the finished product is. And if I'm not mistaken, I think on the 16th is team member preview. So that'll probably be the finished product of what everything looks like. And Earthquake is coming back with a modern look. It's the same experience, just a modern look. And the new paint job looks great. It's great.
Yeah, it does. It looks really, really good from what we're seeing here. I'll link Mondo's Twitter account in the show notes, too, so you can check out some of these pictures that we're kind of talking about and showcasing here. But, yeah, if you guys had been on the studio tour in a while, the War of the Worlds set was looking a little worn for the wear. I mean, obviously it's like a destruction studio set, right? Like where the planes crashed, houses are destroyed, but it was just looking a little worse for wear. So they're rebuilding the War of the Worlds set. That's an area that you're going to be walking through. And then like Mondo said, all these really cool photo ops along the way that, you'll get a visual of that in his Twitter. It looks really, really fun. From what I can see, the studio tour honestly is what makes Universal Studios Hollywood so different from all the other theme parks. So it's cool that they're spending so much time and so much focus on highlighting the importance of the world famous studio tour. And I think the photo ops was a cool idea. They can't bring back some of these things that are no longer there, like the Kong that burned down, right? Mm-hmm. And the parting of the seas or whatever else they're going to have as a photo op, even an actual old glamour tram, you know, as a photo op. Obviously the trams themselves that you're riding now will have a makeover, but they'll actually have one of the old trams, it looks like, as a photo op. So I think, those in general will be like a super cool, addition rather than just like, you know, people maybe have said, oh, I've walked through these sets before when I do like the Terror tram, but like, this is like, kind of a more, it almost feels like kind of what you get with the Warner Brothers studio tour a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but
it's going to be cool, dude. And what's coming with the 60th is that studio tour experience, but there's going to be food, merch, and new media. So it's different videos that you're going to see throughout this tour. So it's just a fresh new vibe.
Yeah. I'm excited. So if you guys are going to Universal Studios at the end of this month and moving forward, you'll be able to experience this and see it. And there's cool merch, too. I think you showed some of that, too, on your Twitter, right?
There's
a bunch of cool, like, retro.
Like shirts, hoodies, backpack.
So it's cool. Universal does good merchandise. I love all their, and especially their retro stuff, too. So, all right, but we are moving on from Universal, headed back over now to Disneyland to talk about some other construction. We have construction happening at Little Mermaid, Ariel's Undersea Adventure. We had speculated for a really long time that they were going to rework the main entrance so that they could incorporate Fastpass, or I guess Lightning Lane and Genie Plus, into the main entrance of the attraction, because it was so weird to have this massive, elaborate entrance to this attraction, and then they're making everyone walk down to the complete opposite end to enter through some side rope queue, like, which is so underwhelming for such a beautiful entrance on this ride. So they've got everything closed off there. The ride remains open right now, but they're working on this entrance to incorporate that. So it looks like at first view that maybe the ride's not open. So just know that it is. And I don't know how long that's going to take, but that's a little bit of construction that's going on right now. The other thing I wanted to mention was D23 tickets. We talked about it on this podcast the last time we all spoke. And now every single ticket has sold out between now and the last episode. So that's a big different change from the last time we talked. So at this point, there's no Anaheim Convention Center only tickets. There's no Anaheim Convention Center plus Honda Center tickets. They're all sold out. 1 day, 3 day, everything is gone. It's crazy. We added, I think, double the capacity for Honda Center. And then they also mentioned multiple times that this was the largest show floor in D23 history. So just increased capacity all around. And the event sold out in 3 days. I think last year it took them like 2.5-3 weeks for it to sell out. So it took a really long time. So this was a big change. There's a huge pent-up demand for D23. And I think a lot of people want to try to experience it this time. So, I don't know. I'm going to be surprised, Mondo. I'm going to get your opinion on it, 'cause I was surprised that the tickets actually sold out. I actually thought that we would see all the cheap tickets sell out and then all these really expensive tickets just be on sale like all week long, and no one buying any of them and them just being on sale for like a really long time. And that's kind of how I pictured it going. I didn't expect it to sell out everything in 3 days.
I know. Yeah, no, it's shocking. Because we're talking like $2,000 seats, and probably like 100 to 300 of these things, maybe more. There might be more of those seats that were sold. And it really felt like the confusion of this, like, do you want the Anaheim and Honda? Do you want Honda only? Or it seemed like in reality, it went seamlessly. I suck at that word. It went smooth because, like you said, it to the public, the tickets didn't even make it really. It was just a 2 day sell, and at that time, there's not really much that's like being hanged. Or not hanged, but like, there's not this like foreshadowing, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But now, if tickets weren't sold out, now with this like Avatar Land being announced today by Bob Iger, it would have instantly sold out every seat. So I think everybody that bought a ticket, they're very happy right now. Like, I find it hard to believe anybody's not happy, because yeah. Avatar Land being announced at Disneyland. That was an incredible announcement today.
Yeah, exactly. And we just have one more Disneyland item before we move on to what Mondo was alluding to, that Avatar Land announcement. And that announcement is Disneyland randomly, and we talked about this on Mondo's Speculation Sunday on his YouTube channel, Disneyland randomly, out of nowhere, I guess at the beginning of April, it is Earth Month, right? So it kind of makes a little bit of sense. But they gave an exclusive to LA Times, which basically said that the Autopia attraction is going to be going through a little bit of a renovation or a reimagining, and would take steps to move towards alternative fuel sources, or as the industry moves towards alternative. This is their quote. So it says, as the industry moves towards alternative fuel sources, we have developed a roadmap to electrify this attraction and are evaluating technology that will enable us to convert from gas engines in the next few years. So we know the attraction is going to electrify, but we don't know what that means. They didn't say we're getting EVs, so we don't know if we're going to have these little battery operated cars. They're not very big, so the batteries would probably last that long. So when they say electrify, I'm thinking more along the lines of a consistent electricity being served to the vehicle so they can move throughout an attraction, which might require them to rework the mechanics of the ride a little bit, right? If you think about the monorail is electric, but it's not battery operated. So there's like electric rails on the monorail, and the monorail touches those to get its electricity and move along the track. So I want to say when they say electrify this attraction, that's what they mean. Because the batteries in a tiny little car that big wouldn't last very long. And how would you constantly charge those? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
but, this completely caught me off guard. What about you, Mondo?
Yeah. I'm shocked Orange County Register wasn't the one to get this, because I feel like they're the ones that get the breaking news kind of thing with Disney. I love this move. The questions that I got is who's going to be the sponsor, because it seems like Autopia always has a sponsor. And this move that they're trying to do to electrify Autopia, are they looking into the future because this is here to stay? Like, is this a move for the next 25 years?
Yeah.
I asked that question. Because, you know, for a while, you know, it felt like Autopia might be on the chopping block, because where does Avatar Land go? You know, yeah. I'm referring everything to Avatar right now, Danny, but it's just, that was a question for this experience. But I like the move. You know, I've asked, is the gasoline smell nostalgic? Everybody says no, they hate it.
So yeah, no.
It's time to go.
I agree, Mondo. That's the only negative thing about it, at least in my opinion. I'm not a fan of Autopia, but I know when I was a kid, I liked it. And I know a lot of kids like it, too. So they've got to have some sort of research if they're going to be willing to put money into this attraction to change it to an electrified version of itself. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if they're spending the money to do that, that means the ride's sticking around, most likely. For some fans, probably isn't the news they want to hear, but for some... it really is the news they want to hear. That's what they want to see. They want to see an original OG attraction at Disneyland stick around in some form or capacity. And Autopia is an opening day attraction. So I think in that aspect, maybe it's a historical thing and they just don't ever want to get rid of it. But I don't know. I think the land could be used for a lot of other things. But if they have Disneyland forward approvals, maybe they don't need it. So we'll have to wait and
see. And almost in a sense, they got bigger fish to fry.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. So bigger fish to fry indeed. Now we've got through all the news. So let's head into the biggest news of the day, which is during the annual meeting of shareholders, Bob Iger once again talked about an Avatar experience coming to Disneyland. And it was, you know, not the first time he's talked about this, right? He's said multiple times that this Avatar experience would be coming to Disneyland, that it would, and then eventually, even at some point, Bob Iger referred to this as an Avatar Land, which then the Disney PR teams quickly went back and redacted his statements to say Avatar Experience instead. And some keen eyes on Twitter noticed this change, as well as told us that in the past, the Star Wars Land or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge was also referred to as the Star Wars Experience before it was officially announced. So people were kind of poo-pooing, saying, oh, it's not a land, because they keep calling it an experience, not a land. But it might be just like a code word that Imagineering uses. But today, during the investor call, he's like, let me share a first look. And like Mondo said, bam, he just shared this this photo, this concept art from Disney of this Avatar-themed land that looks like it's based off of Way of Water, Avatar. And there's a boat ride, more specifically, in the background that has this giant boat that has like six rows of people. I don't know if you noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it. Peter was able to get like this super high-tech photo that like zoomed into the boat ride. I was like, damn. Well, you could actually see how many rows it has.
Yeah, I saw it too. And it's like, it's got six rows of people in it. You can zoom into the background of the land too. There's like water activities happening in the background. They have like different critters from the movie, like water critters. Like there's like these otter looking creatures, like right in the distance there. There's things happening all around. So it's a big land. At least, it's not like the biggest land Disney's ever had. But it's certainly a big space, a big open mm-hmm. space, with a big attraction, and some big background, mountains and stuff like that. More importantly, it's quite impressive. And just like the Avatar experience or Avatar Land over in Walt Disney World at Disney's Animal Kingdom. But I don't know about you, Mondo. I'm kind of glad that they're not just like copy pasting the Avatar from Walt Disney World and we're getting like a different version of Avatar. As much as I love their Avatar Land, I just feel like the Way of Water fits so much better here than it does over there.
Yes. And the fact that it is a new land is what excites me the most. It's just Imagineers get to have the freedom to build whatever the hell they want to build instead of like, we're just cloning this thing. How do we fit it in this area at Disneyland Resort? The fact that it is like an emphasis on water and kind of could be more based on Way of the Water and the future of where the Avatar franchise is going, it just excites me, dude. This land, I feel like, is going to be the biggest game changer at Disneyland Resort ever.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I think another thing I wanted to share, too, about this was shortly afterward, we had different quotes and different kind of further information. So Disney posted an article on Disney Parks blog talking about some more information. Then Josh D'Amaro chimed in to add more information on this as well and further clarity, which we'll talk about in a second. And then Scott Trowbridge from Imagineering also commented on it. And for those that don't know, Scott Trowbridge kind of oversees a lot of stuff that Imagineering does now. And he, more importantly, was the lead Imagineer or like the head person on the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge project. So that's his baby. That was what he did. So that's his thing. So he shared the same photo that Disney shared today. And he said, at today's Disney shareholder meeting, Bob Iger shared, our Imagineers have been hard at work dreaming up what guests might expect with a possible Disneyland Avatar experience. Yes, we are, excited to share more in the future. I don't know why he kind of did it that way. People are looking into the fact that he capitalized yes, he capitalized E, like they're trying to like read into everything, or why he said more in the future. Was this going into Tomorrowland? Like people were going crazy and like the speculation they were coming up with this on. I think he was just kind of, in my opinion, I looked at it this way, Mondo. Bob Iger was quick to say what guests might expect, possibility. They were using a lot of that might, maybe, possibility. And people have been hating that like super vague word and verbiage from Disney lately. But I think in this aspect, Josh D'Amaro provided a little bit of clarity because he issued some information on, and I'm trying to pull it up here right now. I'm trying to see if I can find it somewhere. Let's see here. I know he shared some information about, here we go. Josh D'Amaro said, we're excited about the stories our guests could experience at Walt's original theme park destination after approval of Disneyland Forward, including the chance to experience all new Avatar adventures with a visit to Pandora. So basically Josh D'Amaro said right there that this is completely contingent upon the fact that Disneyland has to get approval for Disneyland Forward. So right there, he said that this is going to be going in some of those spaces or in some capacity that would require them to get approval for this. So that explains why Bob Iger was using that vague verbiage of this is a possibility, this is a maybe, because they can't say it's definitive yet until the city approves that. And then they shared also that, of course, the city would vote later this month on their final decision to either approve or deny the Disneyland Forward rezoning to allow them to build stuff like this. So I was shocked that they shared so much today, Mondo, including the comment from Josh, the comment from Scott. Like, they really wanted to tease the fact that, like, hey, we have something big coming too, and we're going to talk. And then I kind of took it as Scott Trowbridge saying, like, hey, and we're going to talk about it very soon in the future. Like, I took that as, hey, we're talking about this at D23. So just.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't wait. They can't wait. And D23 is that platform to just drop this news of a new land and a franchise that Disney cares a lot about. Like, and it's a franchise that Disney's willing to drop billions. Literally, mm-hmm. They're willing to drop the money for Avatar. It's already proven its success in Walt Disney World. The second movie has proven its success without a doubt. So it's to me, that's why I'm excited, Danny. It's an opportunity for Disney to flex their muscle from every facet of the game, the Imagineering, the land rezone, and the budgets that they could come up with this now, and the possibility of still throwing it out there of Joe Rohde coming back and really just having, you know, maybe not the full vision, but like being part of this, because it's going to be magical. If Joe Rohde's part of this, it's going to be insane.
Exactly. I agree. And that would be the dream, to have Joe Rohde come back. And Mondo also shared too something on his Twitter. So when I link his Twitter, you'll see all the Universal stuff plus this. But it was a speculation on where this might go. And now if you see the concept artwork, which is going to be linked as well, you'll see these massive mountain ranges in the background, which in my opinion is probably hiding the gigantic show building that's going to be needed for this water ride, which kind of looks like and is hinting that it could be the Shanghai Pirates Disneyland attraction technology. I was talking to Peter about it a little bit from Ordinary Adventures, or I think it was David. I was talking to David Vaughn. I talked to Peter about it too, but David Vaughn. And he was saying that that he had heard Disney wanted to use this technology again, but it was extremely expensive and really a big investment. And so they wanted to wait until they had some sort of franchise that was worth spending the kind of money. And to Mondo's point, where he said, this is the kind of franchise that they'll spend billions of dollars on, this is the only franchise I feel Disney would spend that money on again, besides Pirates, which is like an iconic thing for any Disney park. So
they don't even want to spend this kind of money for Marvel. You know what I mean?
Or Star Wars.
Or Star Wars. Let alone Galaxy's Edge did cost billions, but I feel like the ride system alone is going to be insane. Because we're talking 2025 and beyond prices of whatever labor and product and the Imagineering, just the amount of work that's about to happen, it's insane.
If you can imagine, imagine a Pirates of the Caribbean. So for those that don't know, you can Google and YouTube search a video of Pirates of the Caribbean, Shanghai Disneyland, to see what we're talking about. But the way you can best imagine it is that these are large boats, sort of like the Pirates of the Caribbean boats that we have here at Disneyland. But imagine if they were like double wide. That's what they look like. And the boats move freely, so they can turn around. They can move sideways. They can spin. They can do all. So imagine like a Rise of the Resistance vehicle being moved around with a computer system like that, but through water. And that's what the Shanghai Pirates technology is like. So it's a trackless ride sort of, but it's still being guided through the attraction, through the water that same way, incorporating massive sets and screens to really make you feel like you're enveloped in these big scenes that go underwater. And something like Way of Water, what are they doing? They're riding on the backs of these animals. They're swimming with the Tulkun and all this stuff underwater. And they're constantly like above water and underwater, like all the time. And so an attraction that does that makes total sense, because they can dive in and out very magically with an effect like they do in Pirates of the Caribbean, Shanghai, just like this. So it makes perfect sense. But
the Pirates of the Caribbean technology, Danny, to your point about like being above water, underwater, I feel like it's going to be more seamless and just integrated better with Avatar. It's just that technology is a perfect transition, literally, for this ride. It's shocking how good it's gonna be, dude. I'm beyond excited. I think it's gonna be the best ride. It's gonna be the best ride possibly in the United States.
Yeah, I agree. If this ends up being the Shanghai Disneyland Pirates of the Caribbean technology, but with Avatar and a boat ride, there literally is no better ride at Disney Resort. I this will be hands down my favorite ride, period. Nothing will beat it. This will be the best ride at Disneyland. I will be so excited to ride it. I will pay whatever the Lightning Lane costs to ride it the first time. Yeah. And then I'll just end up waiting in line for however long it is after that. Because it's going to, this thing is going to be one of those attractions that will garner a 3-hour wait for like years.
Yeah, but, and it's crazy because it's going to shift the demand. Obviously, Disneyland will always be Disneyland, but I feel like this being the new shiny toy at Disneyland Resort is going to move the crowds without a doubt to DCA. DCA is like, it's not the, oh, I can't get Disneyland reservation. I have to start at DCA. Starting at DCA is not a bad thing now with Avatar Land.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally. But more specifically, in the concept art, I wanted to point out here, Mondo. So like, I was talking about Mondo's Twitter, and he posted a speculation of where this could go. People are pointing out all the land that's been set aside for Disneyland Forward next to the Disneyland Hotel and those parking lots that they want to use because they've showed, hey, this could be expansion for Disneyland, this could be expansion for DCA. And they're like, hey, it's going to be one of these spaces they're going to put it. But when you think about some of the stuff that Mondo and I have learned and just some of the other things that people have shared online about these planning committee meetings, there are some limits here on how high they can build in some of these spaces for some of the show elements in the lands. They can get higher the further they get away from the roads and the edge of the space. But with the grandioseness of this photo and how pushed back these are, including what would be like a ride building that would be taking a ton of space as well behind this mountain, gives me like an indication that's maybe not where people expect it to be, and where, like, and potentially in a new place that doesn't have these height limitations on how high certain things can be for sightline purposes. And there's been some speculation before. We've talked about it on Mondo Speculation Sunday on his YouTube channel, and he showed like a screen cap of it on his Twitter. But essentially, if you could think of the space where, if you ever ridden the Toy Story parking lot, the shuttles that drop you off at Disneyland, it drops you off in like a sort of a bus depot area. So there's like all these different transportation loops right there, and all these different buses drop you off there, including at the very other side of it, the cast member bus drop off for the cast members that are coming in and out of their shifts for the day, all in this giant area when you're entering off of Harbor Boulevard. This massive space has been rumored so many times to be used for theme park expansion for California Adventure Park. In fact, it was already going to be used for theme park expansion for California Adventure Park when Disneyland was planning to make their new parking structure in 2016-2017 behind all the hotels on Harbor Boulevard. But then, as we know, Disney got into a battle with the city and they didn't get approval to move forward with that project, and they had to cancel it. With it, the expansion of Disney California Adventure. So if you can imagine standing inside Disney California Adventure Park and looking directly at the Stage 17 building, which for those that go to the parks, more recently, that was the building that housed the Avengers Superstore. And then if you're also looking at the front of Monsters, Inc., that would essentially, you know, those two things would go away. And that would essentially be your access into this new space that's been put on top of all these giant bus loop areas. And you might say, well, where do guests enter Disneyland from the harbor side? Well, there would be a bridge that would go over the backside of this. That's probably, and if you look at it, Mondo, in the concept artwork, as you're staring at it now, on the left-hand side or on the right-hand side, depending on where, you know, what kind of direction we're actually building this, a bridge or pathway could definitely be behind that and be totally hidden from the inside, and you would never know. So either one of those larger structures could hide that, and the guests that are walking in would be beyond this, and they would be sort of teased in seeing this in the distance, being like, oh my God, we need to go in there and see that, whatever that is. So that's a possibility of a rumored space for this new edition. It would be for California Adventure. But this is just a rumor, right? There's no speculation. There's no confirmation from Disney. All we got today was concept artwork and that it was for sure coming to Disneyland as a possibility pending these approvals. So, we know Disney wants to do it and we know they're going to do it, especially if they spent all this time and energy and blue skying it, but the approvals need to come through. But, do you, are you kind of believing Mondo, like more of this, like, I see this going in that space next to the Esplanade, and because there's that kind of amount of space there, or do you see it going in those spaces back by the Disneyland Hotel?
Nope, it's going behind State 17 in the harbor entrance. Long ago, we got tipped off, and somebody said that that's where it's going to go. And the same person also said Shanghai Pirates technology. And now that where we're at today, that person is right. Or at least it looks like that person's going to be right. I know a lot of people are speculating that it could go with the expansion of Disneyland Forward, like to Pixar Place Hotel area and down that way. But I think those lands over there are going to be something just totally different. And I don't even think... expanding that way is close at all. If they were to get these rezonings and Disneyland approval, I think them going behind Stage 17 and that harbor entrance area, they could do that fast. There's not a lot that's holding them back on that end, because the big things that still have to happen if they were to go expand across is the Disneyland Way, that whole street, that street approval being taken from the city. Yeah. I feel like there's gonna be a fight there still. I don't know why. Yeah. I still feel like there's a fight there to happen, where things don't just go so cleanly with regards to approval, but the construction starting behind or in harbor area, I feel like they could just move fast. And it really feels like this Avatar project is not something they're going to sit on and, you know, go the way of Mary Poppins and that area that was supposed to come to Epcot's or even Avenger E-Ticket. Right? It really feels like this is a Bob Iger special, and they're not going to let it fail. I really feel like this one's going to be seen through and be done quickly because, you know, you've alluded many times, Danny, we got the Olympics to come in 2028. I don't know if they could get this done by then, but I really feel like they want to. They really want to because it's one land.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a whole new third gate. It's a land. And yeah. If they get the ball rolling soon, it's a possibility. And we got tipped off, and a very strong tip, that construction will start this year. And I said that on Speculation Sunday, maybe like 2 weeks ago, that it will start and it's going to happen behind right there in harbor entrance.
Yeah. So I think to your point, there's a few things that's really pointing towards this space as well too. One, that space where all those bus loops are and all that transportation and just wasted spaces, Disney can already build there. That's something that they're allowed to do. But why this is contingent on Disneyland Forward is because in order to make this even a possibility, they would have to have that new parking structure added on the other side of the hotels where they were trying to build before. And like Mondo was saying, that would be what would happen right away. We'd see construction immediately start on that parking lot right away. Because that parking lot would need to be completed or at least on its way to be completed in order for the construction to this simultaneously start. They could also start tearing down Stage 17. They could start removing some of the backstage infrastructure behind these areas to get it ready to kind of push into that space. Mm-hmm. They could start reworking that, when you go to When you ride the Toy Story bus and you're entering off of Disney Way from crossing over Harbor, and then that bus turns right and then you move towards the front of Disneyland. In the concept art that Disney showed a really long time ago when they were planning on using this space for theme park expansion and building that parking structure behind the hotels, they had shown a new Toy Story bus loop. So think about it now. You're going in, you turn right. Imagine going in and turning left. Well, right now, that used to be a sort of entrance to a parking lot that guests could park in. I think it was called like the Timon parking lot way back in the day. But you used to be able to go in there to park in the Timon parking lot. And then trams would take you from the Timon parking lot to the front of the park. And it was weird because when you parked back there, you were like parked directly behind Tower of Terror and the Bugs Land when that was there. We actually used to park here quite a bit back in the day. But that kind of like entrance space is still there. In fact, Mondo, you've seen it a lot of times because they'll put like the food booths there for like Festival of Holidays and Food and Wine Festival. And they'll just like sit there for like the week before they're about to get put up. And that's like essentially like a dead entrance space that used to be a bunch of different lanes for parking as well as trams. And so that in the concept artwork, that was showcased as the new bus loop for Toy Story. So the buses would drop you from Toy Story there, and then you would walk in around the corner or some new way. So they could get started on that right away, all that kind of stuff right away, in order to free up that space. And then the other bus loops are just used by other hotels, the Anaheim Resort Transit. So my guess is they'll probably just tell them, hey, you guys got to use a different Anaheim Resort Transit bus stop to drop your guests off at, because you're not doing this space anymore. So we move forward on it. But I think, here's my thing on it, Mondo. I think they're going to simultaneously, as much as I would really want a Tomorrowland renovation, and I thought about it, I really just don't think that we're going to get it at this D23. I think we will get it before the 75th. But I think it's going to be a really mild renovation of Tomorrowland where they just make it look prettier. They add some planners. They do an overlay of an attraction and they call it a day. They're not going to do anything major. At least that's my theory. What I think at D23 is they're going to announce the details of this, but simultaneously a major change to the Esplanade. And I'm talking a huge change. And a major change would have to happen to the Esplanade in order for something like this to be put in here. And not only that, if you think about it, what are we getting? We're getting Portos in the Esplanade, like in the next year or two. And that's a really tight space right there that is right next to, what do we have? 4 ticket booths of tickets that they don't use anymore. They don't they barely have any ticket booths open. They have 8 ticket booths, and at most they'll maybe use 2 ticket booths in any given day.
They're literally just fix problems booths. That's really what they are.
That's really what they are. And they don't need that many. They could easily change it to just 1 or 2 booths, or they could even move it to those side booths that are on the side of Disney California Adventure and Disneyland Park, and like they could just make that the space that you go to when you have issues or tickets you needed to get done and handled day of. But all that space in the Esplanade, I feel, is going to be really utilized to sort of not only like rework how pedestrians get in, also giving some space to Portos. Who knows? Maybe we see other shops come in like right there outside of Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And then also we have another change happening in the Esplanade. The park's getting new entrances. We see that at Disney California Adventure Park, new main entrance turnstiles. So there's a lot of changes already happening around the Esplanade that makes me think like this is on the horizon. Something big's coming to the Esplanade and we just don't know it yet. And I think this Avatar update will go with that simultaneously. That's how I kind of picture their announcements for at least Disneyland anyway at D23.
Yeah, the streets I was talking earlier was Magic Way, and Clementine, and like Disney pretty much taking it off the city. But you're right, Danny. The Esplanade is not going to look like this for very long. We got a big Portos coming, and a big Portos needs a big queue, so that building will be huge. And the Esplanade, I feel like the Esplanade with Pixar Fest soon, that maybe they go back to like having these like icons in the Esplanade again, because we're gonna have, if I'm not mistaken, a big was it a Luxo Ball or a Luxo Lamp?
Yeah, they're gonna have some sort of I think it's a ball,
it's
some
a ball.
Big giant Pixar icon in the Esplanade that guests can take a photo with. For Pixar Fest when that starts at the end of this month.
Yep. So I don't know. I feel like they're going to start using the Esplanade more and more and more. Like as a marketing thing, that's really what I'm trying to say. Dude, it's crazy. The change happening at Disneyland Resort is just unreal, dude. It's unreal.
It's crazy. It's and like, and
oh, here
things.
It is, Danny. 25-foot tall sculpture celebrating friendship and highlighting the iconic Pixar ball. So 25 foot to Esplanade.
That's big. Yeah. So that'll be.
What were you gonna say?
I was just saying, so much of the Esplanade, it makes sense now as to why they've sort of left things. We kind of always wondered, right? You think about the opposite side of the resort, so the western side of the resort, the Disneyland Hotel side.
Mm-hmm.
You think of that, you see the security booths there, and you're like, those are so ugly. They're just tents in front of this really nice restaurant.
Just temporary as heck.
now we know that those are going away, right? So they're building a nice currently as we speak, and probably opening soon, a new entrance with security booths at the Downtown Disney shopping area. So that'll be coming soon. So we know that takes care of that one. Then we have the other side of the resort in Harbor, with some ugly security tents that are temporary and just, you know, not the best looking first experience you have at Disneyland. And, you know, it's all kind of dependent on the Esplanade getting a change. We see these dead ticket booths that aren't used anymore. You know, Disneyland's kind of beyond that era. They're like a thing of the past. We don't really see a tram route, at least the tram station area, as efficient, in my opinion, as it could be with how they use it now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like really inefficient the way they have it, like the way they drop you off on the other side. And it's just like, it was built for like, not
and sometimes
using it now.
Sometimes they drop you off where literally the big crowd is in. So you got to walk through crowd.
It,
yeah, it's weird.
So I just feel like we're on the cusp of like so many changes Disney wants to make, but they're not doing it because it's going to be tying it in with some major change overhaul to the Esplanade in general and the main entrance of the parks. And then it gives a little bit of like wondering to like when they said, oh, it might change Disneyland Forward might change some like iconic historical structures, including the train station. Remember that, Mondo, when they said that?
Yeah.
So like that could be like, I don't know. I just feel like some big changes are coming to the Esplanade, and it's going to coincide with Avatar. And I just feel like that's the biggest thing, because the Esplanade's like the first impression at Disneyland. And to be honest, when you compare it to like any other Disney Parks resort anywhere, the Esplanade is pretty booty. It's not the best. It's like, it's we've got tents on either side for security. When you walk through the Esplanade to the Downtown Disney side, you got rust stains all over the floor from where the tents used to be when you didn't have to go through security in Downtown Disney. And it's there, you know, it's just dated from like the early 2000s version of, you know, there's no big iconic something. You go to Tokyo Disneyland, you have a giant fountain greeting you. Same thing with like, you know, you have gardens in Hong Kong Disneyland and like a big archway. Like there's just all these really cool things like letting you know, hey, you're at Disneyland Resort. And there's like nothing like really iconic that like indicates that you're like in the Esplanade of like one of the most iconic theme parks in the entire world. Even like Universal Studios, they got the globe. They have the iconic neon fountain for Universal Studios Hollywood. Like, there's so many things they have that like lets you know you're in front of this like major historical landmark. And like, Disney's never really had that for Disneyland, at least in the current day. They used to have like the big marquee, right? That they still use to this day all over the place in old retro merchandise. Mm-hmm. But they don't have anything like that now. And the Esplanade's kind of just like plain. It doesn't really like make sense anymore.
And now that you talk about it too, Danny, it really hones in that harbor entrance security and Disneyland hotel site security over there by ESPN. It's just temporary, and they're just grinding it through because the changes they want to make can't happen unless the future can happen, which is Disneyland Forward. Yeah. Because, yeah, like, that security, like, when you compare it to, I guess Walt Disney World, it's just night and day difference. Like, it's, I don't know, things are more streamlined in Walt Disney World than what we have here at Disneyland. And then like we have tents that they're just temporary, literally. Yeah, like
you got that, tents that with new... like metal barricades and like extension cords being run and like little plastic ramps and
white tables that you could buy at Costco, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like little white tables, and it just looks, it's not the best.
It's temporary. First impression.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, when you think about like, they always talk about like customer service and everything, and like the first impression for like a customer is like the best thing. Like for most people, like walking off Harbor Boulevard, like their first impression is like this temporary green tent with a Costco table and security guards and a very unorganized mass of people trying to find a line to stand behind. Yeah. And there's no clear definition on like if you're standing in a line. Like at Walt Disney World,
it's happened to me.
It's like themed to the park that it's in, and it's just a different.
It's experience. Happened to me where you're waiting in a line on Harborside, and it was never a line.
Yeah,
that's happened to me like multiple times. I'm like, what? That's not even a line. It's just confusion.
It is. It is. But we're hopeful that we'll hear some more news about some of this at D23 Expo in a more finite way. Right? We at that point will be in August. And we're definitely going to have approvals or denials of Disneyland Forward to have some more definitive answers on what we're actually getting here. And so I think that's essentially what we're going to have to wait and hear. I feel like I just have this hint or this inkling that the announcements are going to be a lot bigger for Disney World. But if we get at least just the details on this and maybe a new Esplanade, I'd be really happy for Disneyland.
Yeah, and what, I'm and good what with that. Getting.
So we'll have to wait and see. But was there anything else you wanted to cover in regards to the Avatar Land, Mondo?
With Avatar Land, when I see the concept art, I am beyond ecstatic, but are we going to get Tiana's Bayou Adventure where they drop this Mama Odie's at the top and you know what I mean? It looks so magical, and then come to find out we get a salt dome. Do you think they do that route, or this is just too big to budget cut? What do you think, Danny?
I think specifically, since this is James Cameron's franchise, I think this is just one of those things where he won't allow it.
He won't allow it
to get budget cut. So if they're going to go forward with something like it, he wants his intellectual property, his characters, his stories told in a way where you feel immersed properly, and it's not just like a half-assed, I guess, baked.
Yeah, it's not a Avenger Campus.
Yeah. So
yeah, he's not gonna let them like open the land with no ride, is what I'm trying to say too. Like, yeah, they're gonna have to follow through.
Yeah, he's gonna make sure there's some stuff there. And to Mondo's point, maybe it even means too that in order to get it right, there's a stipulation that he's like, hey, I know that Joe Rohde can do this because he did it before in a way that I was happy. So in order for you to be able to do this again, you need to bring him back. And to answer your question even further, Mondo, the concept art that Disney revealed for Pandora World of Avatar was pretty close to what we actually got. Like, pretty spot on. So, obviously the mountain ranges were a little bit more grandiose in the concept art. But we got pretty much that with what they were showcasing. And in fact, they still use that concept artwork to this day all over the place on merchandise in that land. All, like, even like more recently when I just went there, they had a whole new line of merchandise that still was showcasing this concept art. They had a candle that smelled like Flight of Passage that had this concept art on it. They had a backpack. They had a jacket. They had a t-shirt, like a notebook, all these things, an umbrella that had this concept artwork on it. So, and it was done in a very similar style, almost exactly the same style. So I want to say, like, if they're going to plan on building this land, we'll probably see this concept artwork, as beautiful it is, on so much merchandise.
I have two more things, Danny. Two more things. Nobody's talking about it. So Tully Canteen, one of the best restaurants at Walt Disney World, quick service. Do you think they bring that level of restaurant to Disneyland Resort? Do we have room for that? Because I know they're really squeezing in quite a punch in this land, wherever it's going to go. I keep saying behind Monsters, Inc. But what about the restaurant? Because, like, I don't even know what the Tully Canteen is based on. Like, is that part of the movie, or it's just part of the lore, or they made it up? You have any insight on that, Daddy?
I mean, I don't know if this land is going to have a restaurant. You can zoom in pretty far on this picture. And you can see stuff in the background. There's what looks like an infinite ocean behind it. With waves crashing up against this big rock structure. So my guess is they'll probably have some sort of effect on a building wall that's kind of like the Hollywoodland Street, where there's like a painted ocean that looks like it continues on. And then maybe some sort of water effect to simulate like waves crashing up against the backside of it, kind of like when you're at the Seas with Nemo and friends in Epcot. But the Satuli Canteen concept, I don't know, this land, as big as it looks, when you look at it as a whole and see like the spaces that people are walking on, it's big, but it's not that big. Like, Pandora World of Avatar is probably like two or three times the size of this. Because it looks like the spaces, this looks more like a mini land, but still grandiose in the sense that it looks big and is sprawling. But when you look at it, majority of the space is the lagoon for the water attraction. I mean, the boats are passing underneath bridges that people are walking over. So they're incorporating the space that you walk through the land as well as the ride. So it's like the guest experience, being in a boat, and going through an outdoor portion of like the outside of wave water, so they can take in the scenery. They can take in the mountains, the weird wildlife, that they have probably animatronics of outside, the plant life, the kinetic energy of this whole Pandora way of water space. And like, and then it moves indoors through like a waterfall into the building, and to do like the screen parts of the ride where you probably inevitably dive underwater. But this, other than that, when you look at the background, the things in the background are like similar to me from what I can see of like, Moana's walkthrough experience. Like, there's like fountains and water things happening in the background with like kids playing in it and stuff. So it looks like more of a mini land. And if you think about that space where those bus loops are, there's certainly a big space there to house a massive show building, and then directly in front of it this like lagoon / area here. So I don't necessarily know that there's space for a restaurant, but I certainly hope there would be.
I know. I hope. That's what I was going to say. I hope a restaurant comes with it. because Sotoli Canteen has been great for many years. The last thing, Danny, why no talk or even a whisper of freaking Tiana, dude? Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Summer is literally around the corner. I felt like, is there like this event that we don't know of that's going to be announced where they just drop everything? Or is this opening day just going to come out of nowhere? Because I know Bob Iger supposedly has an interview tomorrow. But is that how he drops the date? What are your thoughts? Because no mention today of Tiana.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have an opening time frame for Disney World, but still nothing for Disneyland yet. And it's you know, all we did here was Bob Iger did talk about the attractions coming, or I don't know if it was Bob Iger, but it was in that. It was in the Disney Parks blog post. So they said, we're keeping that momentum going in 2024. Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens this year at Magic Kingdom and Disneyland. So they're doubling down again that Tiana's Bayou Adventure is going to open this year for Disneyland. So we know it's happening this year. We thought maybe there could be a possibility. Mondo thought it. I thought it. That there could be a delay here because of all the rain we're having at Disneyland. But they're still doubling down to this day on April 3rd that it's opening this year. So the question is, when do you open a water attraction at Disneyland? And you're kind of running out of time if you don't do it in summer. But you could do it in our very, very warm falls. And that includes September and October. So I'm thinking we might see a September-October opening and maybe even Disney holding back that information until D23 and being like, surprise, Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens next month. And it'll be that, like a crazy thing.
The biggest slow pit play ever. But for Walt Disney World, people have to plan trips. And they played it too close to the chest with the opening date. Because if they try to drop this like in May or June, you're giving people like 1 or 2 months to budget, plan, and try to get time off to visit this attraction because people want to be there opening day. This is a big, Tiana's is a big deal. And I don't know. It's just a weird slow play, Danny. It's a weird slow play happening at Walt Disney World.
It is, it is. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. No, still nothing specific, even in this annual meeting of the shareholders about Tiana's Bayou Adventure. More on the future because they were really trying to bolster that the confidence in the shareholders. You know, Disney was dealing with a proxy vote scare where they were like trying to figure out that and like some shareholders that maybe didn't have confidence in the leadership and trying to change up the board. So they really just needed to be, hey, we're steadfast, we're strong, we have plans for the future. We have plans to bring these amazing experiences, and they doubled down on that fact that Tiana's Bayou Adventure was still coming, but I think they wanted the message more so news-wise to be talked about in regards to this, because I feel like if they dropped a date for Tiana's, it would have been like everyone saying like Tiana's, 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 and they want that to be the case, but I think the way the shareholder meeting needed to go to instill that confidence, it needed to be something like this in order to do that. And it did its job because share stocks were up for Disney after the call was done. So there you go.
Man, I feel like we're going to have a good summer, Danny, with the news.
I know a lot of stuff still happening. A lot of things we didn't even cover on this podcast episode today. There's just not enough time. I wanted to thank you guys for listening to this podcast episode. Thanks for tuning in each week. Thanks for the emails and messages you guys send. I really do appreciate it. A lot of people really liked Mondo being on last week, so I'm happy that he was here to join again this week. So thank you, Mondo. And like I said, I'm gonna put links to his Twitter and his YouTube channel in the video description, or in the podcast description, so you can click that and see some of these photos of the glamour tram we were talking about, those photo ops coming soon. And then, of course, if you're subscribed to Mondo's YouTube channel, you're gonna definitely see a firsthand experience of that tram experience, because I'm sure you're gonna do it like as soon as it's available.
First,
so I'll
day.
have to get over there. I'll have to get over there and try it at some point. But and then also we'll be back next week to discuss whatever Disney decides to drop at that point. And of course discuss some new news that's coming out this weekend for me being actually in the parks and talking about things. But if you aren't already subscribed to the podcast, please follow, subscribe, or whatever it is that you do on your podcast platform. I know Google Podcasts officially shut down. Google shut down the service. So the podcast for Google listeners has transitioned to YouTube. So YouTube Music, the YouTube Music app, actually has podcasts now. And that's where the podcast will live for people that use Android and used to use Google Podcasts. They've shut down that service and moved away from it. Apple Podcasts has it, of course, and it's also on Spotify as well, which Android users can also use if they want to go that route instead. But thanks again for listening, and thanks again, Mondo, for having you on. It was so great to hear your perspective on this. I hope you had a fun time talking about it.
Oh, loved it. I always love coming on here. These conversations are only going to get better, Danny, as more and more comes out. Yep.
Exactly. But everyone, thanks again, and we'll see you soon on the next episode.